Hello everyone, welcome to another episode of Contact Lost. You might have noticed that we didn't have the intro music this time round. It's because of YouTube not really liking it and talking about copyright infringements or something. I need to explore this, but for now it is what it is. Today, with my son, hello my son.
Hello there.
We'll be talking about the Euro Trash Cup. So I wouldn't say a premier 8v8 event because I think it's one of the first ones beside the WTC. I mean, then Pyrrha came along, etc. But I think that's like the original one that started happening in Europe a year or two ago.
At least two years ago. And yes, basically the first one I've been at, so...
Before we do that, however, first of all, a massive thank you to all our Patreons and to our wonderful sponsors at The Army Painter and Wayland Yutani. Without your support, we wouldn't be doing this. And we've also launched YouTube memberships. So if you want to explore that option of supporting us, go ahead. Right. So the ETC. My son, you have played not for Team Poland, but for a team called Belgium United Emirates or something like that.
Or Belgium United or United Belgian Emirates and or whatever.
Whatever the name or the potential jokes behind this are, it's kind of irrelevant. But the important thing, however, is we could glimpse what's a dream team sort of lineup in 40k would look like. So I'm very curious about how did this team come to be. Why don't you tell us the story?
So the story behind it, basically, it started, I guess, from Typhus and Pumba playing with a bunch of guys from Team Scotland and Anthony from Team USA at Alpine Cup. We basically started to get some international teams and lineups for different events. So we started from that, and then there was a couple of tournaments. Like I've been in Scotland, in some kind of mixture of between Team Scotland and Team Poland. So we came up with an idea to have a bunch of friends. To play with each other in a setup that we usually don't play with each other because we compete against each other as different national teams. So we wanted to actually set up a team that will be able to compete with full lineups of national teams and see what happens there. And this time around, we managed to gather a bunch of people from Team USA. And two guys from Team Poland, one from Team New Zealand, and one from Team Scotland. Mm-hmm. So all of us are somehow included in also teams, different 40k teams. Like I'm representing Ignite. There were representatives of Art of War, and also StatCheck. Mm-hmm. So. Quite a strong feeling of the team before giving out any names yet. So
sure. And so why wasn't it like Team Ignite or I don't know, Art of War or StatCheck appearing there? Because that would have been probably a first for Ignite to appear in person for an 8v8, right? So wasn't that an opportunity you could have, pursued as a team?
It's hard to actually gather all Ignite players on 8v8, especially that Liam, who's in Liam VSL, who's in Team Ignite, mm-hmm. who played for Belgium as their captain. It's kind of tricky to actually get a whole Ignite team on board because we are 8 people right now. So everyone basically would need to participate. Maybe one day we'll manage to actually have a full Ignite team competing in such an event. So, but okay, this time we combined the best of the best into one dream team, 40K, and
Okay, so you all have all sorts of different commitments within the world of 40K. So, did you actually have any time to, you know, at least brainstorm ideas, team comps, or do any practice? Well, together is probably hard to do, but somehow on TDS or whatever.
Between our team, not at all. We just we agreed before that, before the tournament, that we are going to play actually armies, not optimal team comp, but armies that we usually play. Of course, this doesn't mean that we'll play not good armies, like shitty combinations or something that's basically not playable. We decided to have fun from this event and take armies which we like to play with, and so we weren't like strict on team composition and optimization of that. We decided to take whatever we want to play, and then let's see what happens, with of course optimizing the pairings. So that was basically the idea behind our preparation for that particular event.
Okay. And during the event, I mean, you've had quite a couple of people that are keen on pairings, or good at them, you could also say. So who was the mastermind behind the pairings, or was it like a whole team effort?
Yeah, it's more or less it was a whole team effort, but I decided not to participate, especially that we knew that because both me and Typhus are also members of Team Poland, and we are competing against Team Poland this time. So we decided not to participate and not to be involved in pairings against Team Poland. That's for sure. Mm-hmm. But and also me personally, I was not. I wanted to just chill out, so I trusted guys to do the pairings on their own, and they managed to do it. I was happy to chill out in between the rounds.
Okay, so what did you end up playing?
Oh, nobody expects that I took GSE. Nobody will expect that.
So you've been going on about moving away from GSC every time you were on this show throughout 10th edition, and still you're taking GSC to another event.
But why? I changed the list. I don't have a truck anymore.
Oh no, how could you ditch the truck?
Because somehow some things changed at 40K, I can deep straight turn one if I don't go first, so basically... I don't need a track anymore. I'm happy without it.
Okay, so what was in your list then? Assumingly, it didn't evolve much, but...
I got nearly the same stuff I took to WDC, surprisingly. So 4x Acolytes, 4x Neophytes. I took one laser squad just to be annoyed with them and promise myself never to take them again. I needed something in my list to complain about, so there's always something to improve. And 3 primuses, 2 saboteurs, 2 tracks, no tracks, the regeners. So basically, stuff I play around, changing Goliath track to another. From the previous iteration, I changed the Goliath track into 20 neophytes, basically.
Oh.
And the result is, I think it's the way to go in this right now. The metagame is not that good for GSC.
Mm-hmm.
But whenever a metagame where seismic cannons are really good into the stuff in the metagame, whenever there's some kind that kind of metagame, then GSC will be back, at least in the current form.
Okay, so... is the meta friendly for GSC or not really, to summarize it? Because you don't really see GSC being played a lot, to be honest.
No, it's a kind of an army that right now require really time in investment to actually learn how to play it. And also you need to test yourself, play a lot of games and play perfect games in order to get the scores. So especially that nowadays you can just be really unlucky on your resurrection rolls, and then basically things can get really, really tough, and you need to keep focus up to the end of the game. There's little room for making a mistake.
Yeah, because you can either end up playing 3,000 points or playing with a bit overcosted army if you just don't roll those resurrection rolls, right? Because it's counted into the points cost, let's be honest about it. Exactly. Right, so how did your matrix look like then? Was it a lot of orange, or did you manage to get like some good matchups?
Like how it's some matrices were like half of them half good pay, like green pay rings, but by green right now I mean it's from 10 to 13. So nearly always like guarantee a 10, but 13 is a max that I can get, and provided the opponent just doesn't make any mistake. And the other half was orange, so it was 10 at maximum, but less. And this is such an army right now. I get that basically is either get a lot of good pairings and a lot of bad pairings, and it's really tricky to actually get a good pairing. You need to take double care about pairings with GSC, because for example, if you happen to play against Tyranids, you can bring out 0 points or 2 points, which is usually a mess later on in the results. Mm-hmm. It's not that good anymore.
Right, and speaking of estimations, because I've been meaning to pick up GSC as like a second army at some point at least, but just didn't have the time to play that many games to start testing another army. But I was thinking that if I were to do that, I would probably play some test games without even rolling the resurrection rolls, just to get like an idea of what the floor is for the army. Would you say that's a good approach? And maybe is it something that you do as well, estimating? Like, what's the guarantee you'll make even if all those rolls go shit?
Yeah, so my opinion, this is like, it can be like a very bad practice, because usually you need to plan, it's double-edged basically, because on one way you can learn the floor result, and but you are never like then teach yourself not to plan for something good to happen on board, so you're not trying to optimize stuff. And usually in this GSC army you tend to push and tend to be aggressive turn 2 and 3, as long as you do have from turn 1 and 2, you get better resurrections, you push. You basically push, because then there's a higher chance of getting back units and actually rewinding as many units as possible. So you're actually using your resources and hope to get back. And if you tend to play up to the floor, then you will never reach high scores, because you will always like, I won't sacrifice this unit because I will lose him, so I will play defensively. No, that's not the correct play. The correct play with GSC right now is, especially in the pairings like Eldars, you need to use your units for killing stuff. And you need to gain this board advantage as soon as possible, use move blocks, and this is the correct play. So you have to take this risk. And of course, it's a bad thing in terms of army stability. It's fun. Of course, it's fun because we are playing a dice game. But on the other hand, the problem is that if you play safely, you will never like win highly. and in Teams is really important.
Yeah, sure. Okay. Well, thank you for that, but we digress. So what did your team comp end up being like? What armies did you have?
So maybe it's time to introduce the players in the team. So
definitely.
First of all, myself playing on GSC, and Typhus from Team Poland playing Sisters of Battle or Adeptus Sororitas. Then we got David Gaylard from Team New Zealand, and with his Astra Militarum or Imperial Guard. Then we got Ines from Team Scotland and StatCheck, so playing Space Marines. And then we had the four guys from Team USA, starting from Anthony Vanilla from playing World Eaters, then John Lennon with Terranids, Jack Harpster with Custodes, and Brian Saip with Orcs. So basically, we from the top picks, we probably missed some kind of a Craft Wolves build, we missed some kind of Necrons builds, and we get like three actually armies which are not in the strict metagame but are highly skill intensive, like GSC, World Eaters, and Orcs. These three armies are can surprise the enemy, basically.
Okay. And so was there a team that you didn't feel comfortable into, given your team comp and the opposition team comp? What other team would you rate as like the best team composition?
So team wise, we defined four teams that were actually challenge in the tables. Of course, all players are the challenge, but from the estimation tables, the worst matchups we had against Team Poland. So this was something that we needed to take double care about. As I said before, me and Typhus was completely not involved in preparing our team against Team Poland. So we are not correcting any of the estimations. And then the next one was Team Germany and Team France.
Okay.
So these four teams, basically.
You mentioned three.
Our team like mentioned. So this top four, we thought that will be composed of. Four teams. Yep.
Understood. Did you have like a favorite in terms of team composition of the other teams? Someone
that of you course, know. Team
Poland. Fair enough. Fair enough. Let's move on to your games maybe then. So round one, what did you play as a team and what did you get paired into and how did that go?
Okay, so first of all, we started against Luxembourg. I played versus Tissans. This is a really interesting matchup, basically. Because this is the matchup that relies purely on skill of the players. The problem is this: in this particular build of Tissans was that the opponent got two beasts, mutali beasts, or whatever they're called. And these are really hard for me to remove, actually, because I need to invest a lot of resources to get rid of them, and also I need to actually also remove Rubik Marines from the equation, so it's tricky. I played this a little differently. I didn't want first, so this is both good because I can do damage from turn one, and bad because I can't get board control, and this allows my opponent to actually spread on the table. I played this quite differently. Basically, all of my games, I start one Neophyte squad with Primus and one Acolyte squad with Primus on board, so I can decide which to basically, if I don't go first, I put them both into deep strike at the end of the opponent's turn, and then I decide what to do with them. And this was actually the matchup that I decided to bring back to Neophyte squads and use 3-inch deep strike on Neophyte squads to get a range to Rubric Marines, which were teleporting. So I managed to quickly dispose on the squad that was really teleporting and use move block shenanigans to block beasts from reaching my DZ. So this set up the game for me. My opponent played it rather defensively, especially with Magnus. So I get I managed to get to have a board control, and then ended up with 15 points against that that matchup. I was quite lucky. Like the play from Tisson should be like put beasts into the two objectives, and it was also a vital ground, if I remember correctly. So just two objectives. If I remember correctly, it's 2 weeks from there. So, and then basically I had a really huge problem because I'm not able to like easily get points from primaries. But I managed to do move blocking, reduce mobility of my opponent, and it's then there was only a board control. So I managed to basically play it. Like I wanted to.
Okay, perfect. And
next games, I will just consolidate them into one. Yeah.
Okay, fine. You can do that. Go ahead.
Yeah, because we played against Germany. I'll just go through my personal games and then we can talk about team scores, I guess.
Okay, sure.
Yeah. So personally, then I got two games against Custodes. Versus Germany and versus Poland. There's two different missions. First was both are tricky, basically. The first one was Search and Destroy and stuff, and the second one was Hammer and Anvil. And this matchup, I played this before WTC, after WTC, and it's basically the same, still the same thing every time. It all relies on 4-ups of Custodes. You can example be what lucky and kill them. But it's a really tricky matchup because if you make some mistakes with GSC, then you basically can get really really hard situation on the table, especially when Castaldi's bricks charges into your DZ. And this happened in my Germany matchup. So basically I with my entire army I couldn't kill the last guard, so the last warden. So he was left on one wound with a blade champion. So suddenly there was three guys in the unit, 2 inches shorter range to my DZ, and this guys with another brick charged into my DZ. So I had a really problem with defending my DZ. But I managed, still managed to like get a lot of tacticals and secure the situation. So like I said, it's like minimum 10. It's a green pairing, but minimum 10. And it happened also with against Team Poland, where I played similarly to of Custodes, but on Hammer and Anvil, which is even more like role dependent. Because you push Custodes bricks onto the objectives and then either you kill them or not. And this is the story of that game. I killed, like, this time, for example, I killed 1.5 brick of Wardens turn one, which was, like, amazing result. But then I had, like, 2 turns of drawing really bad secondaries, tacticals. And I lost this matchup on secondaries, basically.
Okay.
But there were no surprises in this game. I played this matchup like tens of times, and
mm-hmm.
especially before WTC when it was harder. So yeah, then I had a Tau matchup, which is also some kind of a green matchup, but this time I played against Lucas from Team France, and he mm-hmm. we talked a lot about GSC because he used to be a GSC player, so I couldn't surprise him with anything. Basically, it ended up being 11 with some lucky stuff from my side, but basically the game still was no stories behind. He played really well with his crisis suits, not allowing me to get any free shots on crises. So basically I was tabled by the end of the game, but I managed to actually score the points and score the game. This time I actually started the game. I really didn't want to start it. Yeah, it's how life changes after some kind of balancing slate. Before the last balancing slate, I was complaining. I didn't start command. I will arrive 10 later. And then I had like a problem of I haven't started. I have started. And now what do I do with turn one? So yeah,
it's always wrong.
Yeah,
it's always the opposite of what you want.
It's fun, basically. Yeah, and the last one was Necrons against Florian, and this was like really interesting game because like GAC versus three monoliths, and that mm-hmm. was amazing. So basically, and Hypercrypt. So
yeah,
the fun fact. Yeah, the fun fact is that I can't kill monolith unless I invest all of my resources. So basically, I knew how the game will look like, and the score depends on when monoliths arrives at the second objective. I managed mm-hmm. to get go second, which basically is really good against Hypercrypt because I DZ turn one and he deep strikes turn two. So I just flooded the board with bodies and monolith reached the second objective turn three. So I get like three turns of scoring before he scored something. So that was actually mm-hmm. a good idea.
So you've played four out of your five games were actually into common meta choices, I want to say. What do you think about those armies? I'm specifically interested in Thousands and Custodes.
I'm not a big fan of Custodes. It's an army that have one playstyle, and while like the army seems solid, and our Custodes got really good results, all can go wrong with some unlucky four-ups.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not a big fan, especially in the newest version of metagame, when, for example, some kind of Iron Storm, Space Marines armies started to emerge and started to be very popular, and they basically decimate Custodes or like at Pyro Cup.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not a big fan of Custodes, personally.
Okay.
They used to be great, but right now they're really tricky and they're like one trick pony. Thousand Suns, on the other hand, this is they are probably one of the best armies in good hands and the worst armies in bad hands. So, yeah.
Okay.
This is like really skill intensive army, which always. If you play against it properly, probably Thousand Suns will be at slight disadvantage. But on the other hand, you get so much mobility, so many options on the table, that it's basically not possible to stop all of your tricks.
Mm-hmm.
And the options with double move, anything on table, doom bolting stuff, removing saves, they're limitless. You can play this army defensively, you can play offensively, you can rush with T-Zones, you can teleport, you can double move, you can basically do anything you want on the table. But your army is squishy. And sometimes can die to anything, but you get, this is a perfect glass cannon army.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I find that this is good army in the team composition if you could have a really good operator for that.
Mm-hmm. Fair. Okay, and having played your five games, did your take on GSC differ from what you've said at the beginning of the episode, or was that like including the conclusions after the tournament?
I went undefeated, so two draws, one small win, two big wins. But I do not find GSC as good as it used to be. People got used to play against it. The biggest impact, to be honest, was that there's no option right now for double 3-inch deep strike. And you can't, if you don't have double 3-inch deep strike and your only source of reliable damage is our acolyte quads,
it is. We have possible. A 6-inch range.
Yeah. So basically, either you play truck, but then it's not that much. Basically, you can play around the truck. Or you invest in neophytes, and like I said before, if there's a meta game that can be countered by mass seismic cannons, then GSC will be back into many.
Okay. So what were the team scores for you guys?
So basically, we started against Luxembourg. We managed to win against them. Then we played against Germany and we scored a draw. That's German players surprised us with some things, which was really interesting and amazing to see. Because from what I know, that there were like a lot of candidates from team Germany, actually, not the actual team. So I'm really happy to hear that. They got options, and there will for sure be a challenge at WTC.
Mm-hmm.
And then we played against Team Poland, so we managed to get really good pairings against them, and we won really highly. And then we had wins against Team France and Team Netherlands. So basically, four wins and a draw, ending up as winning the event. Germany actually got the same score, so they won against Team Poland as well, but scored less points on like secondary points. So yeah, tiebreakers.
Mm-hmm. So they ended up second, right?
So our dream team actually got a challenge, not only from Team Poland, but as Team Germany as well.
Mm-hmm. Okay, good stuff. And what do you think about the game against Team Poland? So what happened there? You mentioned pairings. What do you think?
It's a clear situation that both of teams got different thought they won on pairings, but one of the teams were really,
as always,
wrong about estimations. I don't remember core exactly. I just need to double check how the round went. I went into Custodes and this was a draw minimum, so that was my estimation here. Then we had one win of Team Poland. It was Tyranids against Orcs, and it was a big win. Basically, you go first and then block the table and control the board. We got a loss, Necrons against World Eaters, so 0-20, which is like always something that basically it will all when you got a zero from a pairing, it's usually one less score. So you, from win you go to a draw, and from draw to lose. It's a big thing. Then our Tyranids managed to win against the guard, and this is actually really good. But our Tyranids were tailored into playing the guard. Then we got Adeptus Custodes won up against Death Guard, which happened a couple of times during the tournament. And then draw of Sisters of Battle against guard. there's Space Marines against Black Templars. So yeah, usually also yeah, there are two different lists. So we get a foot slogging Black Templars with big blobs versus Iron Storm, and Iron Storm just is really good in killing infantry. Mm-hmm. And then we had a matchup, High Wing of Typhus playing against Duda, so Sisters of Battle versus Elves. I think the mission, so Hammer and Anvil, is kind of tricky to actually get a stable draw, because either we push on the objectives and score early, there's limited option for like scoring secondaries if you don't push. So you basically meet in the middle, and there's a role of basically killing each other at the middle of the table. I personally don't like this mission because it's with disappearing objectives, you can be really unlucky, and your objectives can basically can plan the game, and then suddenly you need to readapt the plan, and not every army is able to do that in the middle.
Mm-hmm.
So it really affected how pairings went. So especially on this mission, for example, elves lose their mobility. Sisters are really good because they lack mobility and they can push for more points. So. Mm-hmm. It all can be seen from the results that this clash in the middle and not scoring points and from playing defensively results basically into high scores and all of the that was maybe that was the reason we had the different estimation tables, and we managed to get actually better pairings for us. While avoiding some traps for GSC, for example.
Okay. right. So, would you say that your team had the better knowledge of some of the pairings in that case?
Personally, my opinion is that Team Poland got a better team composition, but we had a better knowledge again about this particular mission and pairings, how they will look like. So in the end, we managed to avoid hard matchups for armies that are weak into team composition. For example, I had like five oranges in the against Team Poland, and still managed to get the green. So we managed to actually like move around this hard breakpoints and came out with really good pairings for us. And then there was this game to deliver the results.
Mm-hmm. All right. Okay. Understood. Right. So were there any armies that, looking back, you would swap out in the team that you had? Like, obviously, from what you said at the beginning, there were better choices to make. But would you swap anything out?
I think the orcs are,
in hindsight,
orcs are really underwhelming right now, and okay. They're really they struggle with being blocked in the indie, and that's really hard. Because we had really bad results from while Brian is a really good player, he knows orcs by heart. He's one of the best orc player around. So, but he didn't manage to do anything against hard matchups. So that's thing I've. Personally, I think it's not fitting into team composition, taking into consideration tables, estimation tables. GSCs also should be out. We should have some kind of Necrons, T-Sons, or maybe Elves in. It wasn't a bad team composition, but there is a room for improvement. Actually, have like dream team and dream team composition.
Right. Well, you didn't need the dream team composition, luckily. So congrats on the win. But what I would say, would you say that this is evidence that the meta is really healthy, as in for an 8v8, almost every army is actually viable?
Right now there's interesting it's really interesting state of the game, because right now every army can compete for some points. There are little like matchups to score 0 or 20. That's you can do it when the opponent makes mistakes, of course. So I would say we are in really healthy state of meta game. Of course, there are always issues, but a lot of armies can play right now, and different team compositions are actually viable. And underwhelming armies like World Eaters or GEC can see some play, taking into consideration player skill. And it's not that they don't have any good matchups. So there is a use for such armies in team composition.
Okay. Well, that's great, right? I mean, at least I think so, in terms of the game. Right, let's talk a little bit about Team Poland. So, not necessarily at this event, but in general, because we've had Pyra, which was a big like test event for the people. We've now had this event, which was also a test with some new faces attending. So, where do you think we are in terms of preparations for the WTC?
Yeah, so we are at this stage, like in last year, we are after a series of events, and there will be one more event, international event, so Alpine Cup, where we are basically testing our candidates. And of course, me and Typhus, we are not playing. We're not playing at ETC. Also, in order to see how our team and candidates performs from the other perspective, so playing against them. So we got our opinions, and the time is running basically, and there will be soon some kind of a selection process finishing, of course after Alpine, not before the Alpine Cup, and then we'll select the team and we'll make our final preparations, which will be for sure top secret, hidden behind
closed doors.
Firewall, closed doors. And there will be also, of course, one more Pyra event, which will be with closed lists, and not inviting our direct opponents. So we'll have at least one more opportunity to test the final team composition.
But that's in July, right?
Yeah, that's in July. After the cutoff, but before the list deadline.
Okay.
What more I can say?
Do you have like a date in mind in terms of announcing the final lineup, or is that fluid?
I wouldn't risk saying anything about specific dates.
Fair enough. Do you have like any favorite factions or anything like that you think are performing very well right now?
So my personal I'm currently testing out Iron Storm, just to take a look on the Gunlane style army right now. I really like Tisson's flavor, so I'll probably play some games with them in the meantime. So that's two of my picks currently for me, for myself to play with. And the most fun I have right now is from playing Sisters, because I played a couple of games with them, for one of the Ignite Scream, Ignite versus USA Scream. So Yeah, because as Team Ignite, we are not only participating in real events. We are also having scrims like Team Poland versus national teams. We are playing also Team Ignite versus different national teams. Like right now, we are playing against Germany. We finish our games against USA, and now we will have actually competition in Team Ignite versus Team Poland around coming pretty soon.
Yep, but that's a topic for a different show entirely. What I was going to ask about Team Poland now, so what do you think about the selection process this year, maybe, is a question I want to ask in terms of, you know, how many people are involved and if it's, how is it running? Is it like, do you think that, is it in a better place or worse place than it was last year or 2 years ago?
I think I have my personal perspective on that because I'm not this year I'm not that involved as I used to be previous years because I just can't afford the time to spend on all the stuff, so I'm helping as much as I can. Of course, I'm a part of a selection team, but not as engaged as last year. So we had a lot of people that were participating in the selection process. Right now we filter that out to like a group of people. I think that we are still improving the process of selection year by year. It's going it's a little bit different. We are learning our lessons and we are improving on what we have learned. I know it's general, but right now we are at the stage that I can't like tell anything in details about what we are doing.
Yeah, no, of course. And I mean, the question also wasn't very specific, so it is what it is. Right. Okay. Meissen, anything you want to add from your side?
I won't promise that I will change my army from GSC to something else, but that should be our introduction. I will sometime in the future, I will stop playing GSC for a month.
Yeah, right. Especially when there's a codex that will probably make WTC cutoff.
I think it's not. It's
coming. When is the cutoff?
Right, 1st of July.
I think it might just make.
There's one codex per month, and I guess orcs. Tau is already more or less
Tau's
already
out, here. Kind of.
Orcs, custodies, and chaos space marines, and we have 3 months left. So not. I guess there's no chance that GSC will actually be on WTC cutoff.
Okay, let's agree to disagree and see what happens.
If it is, then I will be happy. And then for sure, I can't promise that I will stop playing this army at least tomorrow. But in the end, after WTC, probably I'll take GSC still GSC and talk a lot about GSC stuff maybe for the next 6 months because or the GSC codex is trash and then I'll just be sad, just sit alone in my home and stare at the moon and cry a lot.
Okay, we will be sure to make a meme out of that if that happens. Right. Well, in that case, I think we will be wrapping up. So, Meissen, thanks for coming on and talking about the 40K Dream Team. Massive thank you to all of our patrons and to our wonderful sponsors Wayland Yutani and the Army Painter. And remember, if you like what we do, please hit the bell button, subscribe, like, and whatnot. And we've also opened up YouTube memberships, so that's a new way in which you can engage with us, and we're very looking forward to having you over there. For now, that's it from us here at Contact Lost. Thank you and goodbye.
Thank you. See you.